If you've ever tried to accomplish a job without the right tool, it's frustrating. You work harder and harder, but don't get much out of it. That's why the Bible Study Company was created. It's the right tool to help you study and enjoy reading the Scriptures. Powerful tools have been built into this resource to help regular pew sitters like you and me gain more understanding from what we read. Now, please join founders Rick and Mary Joyner as we dig deeper and find more meaning out of the Bible.
Good morning, Mrs. J.
Good morning, Mr. J. Well, it's 12:20, so it's good afternoon.
I guess it is. What do you got for your beverage?
I'm still drinking.
I got my cold coffee.
I'm still drinking berry sparkling water. Who cares?
Okay, so this is Exodus 4, part 2. So we just did the first couple of verses, and we asked ourselves some questions like, are we an honest person? Are we progressing towards God's will? And those are big questions to ask.
And some of the things that we came up with was that if we're really honest, we're not honest.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it.
If we're really honest, we think we're honest and we think we're a good person. And our fear to not be honest with ourselves, because if you have to look at your faults and things that are not very becoming, it's hard to want to like yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And is it important for us to like ourselves, or is it really important to have God like us?
I think it's important for us to understand that God loves us in our brokenness. And until we understand that, we really won't like ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But I still ask the question, is it important for us to like ourselves?
I think it is. I mean, we could debate that.
Well, I don't know if we have to debate it. I'm just throwing out the question.
I think that it's important. The reason that I think it's important, I think it's important for us to like ourselves, but not in the version of what the world says is liking yourself. It's liking ourselves because we understand that we are created by God, and we should like ourselves because we're His creation.
That's right. Yep. And we want to line up with His will and His purposes. Yeah, I'm glad we got a chance to do this. And by the way, folks, this is what we do when we're doing Bible study, and especially with husbands and wife. We, just so you know, we do our own personal devotions, if you want to call it that. Our own study is off to the side. I'm working on a couple things like what's a prophet? How's that work? Mm-hmm. And some science things. And you're working on understanding some other different sides of Scripture.
Just our own personal studies, which is great too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to go for our worship. We're going to go over to Psalm 32 again. And we read the first two verses last time. And it basically coincides with how blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. In other words, we can hold on to our iniquity, and we're going to see a man that is doing just that, but whose spirit there's no deceit. And that's our pursuit with the Word of God and getting to know God through His Word. Right. And that's His book to show us how to get to know Him. So when I kept silent, verse 3, Psalm 32, about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. And Lord, I know this to be very real in my life, where I got angry with certain things that didn't go my way, and I felt they should have. And I just kept silent about my sin. I didn't confess them. I wasn't repentant, and it was awful. And for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. And we know that when your hand is heavy upon us, it's because of our pride and stubbornness and obstinance. And we get to see that in Exodus 4 and 3 and 4 with Moses. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of the summer. And that's what it felt like. I felt extremely dehydrated. There is no living water in my soul. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgressions, Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Mm-hmm. That actually makes me a little emotional. And the reason it does is because once we turn to you, you don't impute that to us, and we start a walk with you. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's a time that we need to be found. You are the day of salvation. So surely in a flood of great waters, they will not reach him. And Lord, one of the saddest things in the Epic of Gilgamesh is that the man went actually and interviewed the guy that was in the ark. And one of the saddest things that man said in the ark, Noah, as we know him, is that he saw people who turned to mud. And I think those were his friends who actually helped him come and build the ark. And they realized that what he said was true. And they tried to have salvation, but it was too late. So we look to you now as this world's imparting. So I'll stop right there, and we'll use that in the next podcast. So let's go over to Exodus 4. All right. So we talked about the Lord is asking Moses about the staff, what's in his hand. And so we talked about why the Lord would even ask those questions. And we see that that's a pattern that the Lord has for us. And it's a pattern that we need to accept too, because it's good to ask questions. It's not good to question the Lord, but it's good to ask him questions.
Mm-hmm. Respectfully.
Questions. Attitude. Yep. And if you don't know the Lord and you're questioning your relationship with him or whether he exists or not, it's okay to ask him, you know, for him to show you that he is real.
Right.
That actually happened to somebody very close to us. And it was outstanding what happened. But we started out with a question. So our question now is this. Are you willing to be obedient to God's word? Now, as you think about that, I'll read it again. Are you willing to be obedient to God's word? Now, this will affect a number of areas of your life. And the reason it is just in Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is somebody starts out and doesn't want to confess his sins. Okay? Being obedient to God is confessing our sins and turning from them and our way of doing things. So it will affect if we're going to be a disciple, if we're going to be used by God, if we're going to grow in God, because we talked about Moses' progression of not knowing God. When he looked around to kill the Egyptian, he certainly did not know God or had fear of him. But then he got revelation. The matter was known to him, and he started worshiping. He ran, left where he was. And that's what we need to do. Are we willing to turn and ask the Lord? So that's our question. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that, Mrs. J, about being obedient to the Lord.
Well, I think that the only way that we can truly be obedient to the Lord is through the Word of God. So it can be kind of a tricky question if you, it is, but it isn't, because if you want to obey the Lord, you have to be in his word, because he calls us to do that.
Right.
And if you're not in his word, then you're not being obedient to the Lord.
Right.
Even if you can be obedient in certain ways, but you can't be fully obedient if you aren't in his word.
Right. And I think that was the change. We were Christians for many years, doing what other people told us to do. And you've heard that in other podcasts. But we met Dr. Baruch Korman, and you can go to his website, loveisrael.org, and see his videos. We've buried his videos. If you find the camera icons in Bible Study Company, you can watch videos about that particular scripture. Now, what's important is to understand that we are fruit of his ministry. In other words, studying how he studied and then applying that in our lives as husbands, wives, and in alone together has caused us to share with you what we're learning. And we started out in Exodus.
Well, and that's the key, because it could sound like, well, you're still doing what somebody tells you to do then, but we're not. What Baruch did for us was the realization that we each need to be studying the Word of God and doing what the Word of God says to do, not what a man says to do.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And the other thing that he said is You don't have to have a PhD in language and other stuff, but he's constantly referring to the grammar and the definition of words and how these words play out in the rest of Scripture. Well, good news, Bible Study Company has all those tools built in. Mm-hmm. So you can click on a word and you can start to look at it. Like, for example, then he said in verse 3, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses fled from it. So we have two throws on the ground. He threw it. The Lord said, throw it. And Moses threw it. So that's the essence of our question. Are we willing to be obedient to God's word?
Right.
And when God speaks to us, are we willing to be obedient? We have a whole Bible that tells us that, tells us from start to finish. Now, it can be overwhelming to somebody, but start someplace, start and ask, start asking God. Now, you are looking up. You've clicked on throw. So what are you doing?
Just looking to see the throw and through, if they were exactly the same or not, which they are, to throw out, down, away, the different occurrences of where they occurred. The first place it shows up is in Genesis 21:15, when the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes. So she left is highlighted. So
this was Hagar.
Yeah.
So Hagar with Ishmael.
Right. So does that mean the up and she left is highlighted like the same meaning as to throw or to cast?
Well, it's interesting because the word shalach, there's a word that's probably really close to that. The root word is shalakim, which is to send someone. It's the same word for apostle.
Ah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So the Lord is casting, he's telling Moses, cast this down, throw this down. We also see the serpent, which is another one, and it hit the ground. Notice that men are, we can go back to the garden on this. Men are made from the ground. Mm-hmm. And it became a serpent who now has to crawl on the ground. I just realized that the Lord's men were made out of dust, and the Lord sent the serpent to crawl on the dust. Mm-hmm. So that kind of shows.
He actually said to eat the dust too.
Eat the dust, yeah. So what's interesting is I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
And Moses fled from it, but the serpent, if we click on it again and go to the Strong's, it's Lakash. Now, what's going to be interesting later on, and I won't spoil this, but if you want, you can go and follow that. And this does come from Genesis 3. But when he goes and in front of Pharaoh and throws it down, there's a different animal that shows up than just a serpent. Mm-hmm. And that caught us off guard when we started to study it. Mm-hmm. But it shows the power of God. So it's Nakosh. And so that's the serpent. So I think that's interesting that it is the serpent. And so I have to get back. So I'll just click on back to reader, and I should go back to Exodus 4. There. Okay. So that's our question. Are we willing to be obedient to the Lord? And also, I think one neat thing is the Lord uses what we have. If he says, I want you to do X, and we say, well, what if they won't believe me? Then he says, okay, what do you have in your hand? Mm-hmm. So what is in your power and in your control? And that's one of the things that I think is very...
What's in your power and control? And then the Lord says, I'll show you who is really in control and power. I'm power off.
Yeah, yeah, because you're... yeah, yeah. You got me on that because it's true. But that's all we can control is what's in our power and what's in our thing. And that's service to him. This is the thing that Brooke would say, that every area of our life is to be used for his glory. Mm-hmm. You know that?
Yeah.
I just had to check to see if we were still taping, and we are. Okay. So now... It became a servant and Moses fled from it. So if you click on fled, it's fleet and to escape. That's what it means. So we'll just close that out. So again, you're catching us. And it says Moses fled from it. And again, Moses was drawn from the water. I think that's neat. But the Lord said to Moses, now we have to check the said. So let's check the said to see if it's a debar. They're just talking. The Lord is giving commands, but they're not revelation. He's giving a direct command to the Lord. Stretch out to Moses, stretch out your hand and hand. Are you looking up stretch?
No.
Okay. So the stretch part is, again, like Mary said, it's like send out your hand, shalak. It's like I said, I think it's a root word for apostle, is someone who's been sent. And stretch out your hand, meaning your power, and grasp it by its tail. So the interesting thing about tail is if you click on it, it comes up to a tribe, which is what caused us some really interesting conversations at one point.
Right.
Because it's showing that the tribe of Israel is connected to the snake. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Are we going to be connected to the snake? Are we going to be connected to the world system? Are we going to be connected and groveling in the dust? Or are we going to be an image bearer that the Lord has asked us to become? And an image bearer is a disciple. You can find Exodus always in the Gospels in most cases. And I don't know why my nose is so itchy. I don't get that. So if you click on tail, you'll be surprised that it comes up. So it does mean tribe, which I think is so neat. So he stretched out his hand. So now Moses is obeying God, even going against his fear, stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. And this is something that I think is really neat, because he's taking a piece of wood, turning it into a living thing that can interact with you, that caused enough fear of Moses. And sometimes the way I would say this is, I don't want to be a hard piece of wood. Mm-hmm. I want to be something living in the Lord's hands. But I also think that the God of the universe, who could speak all of this into existence, we're starting to get to know his character. Mm-hmm. He owns everything. He can take a rock and truly turn it into a person that gives praise to him. Right. He can take a wooden rod, and later in Numbers, I think he makes it bud, mm-hmm. And actually fruit, almonds. Here we have him manipulating the real world and making something inanimate into a snake. And this goes over to the Gospels, where the Lord turned water into wine. Mm-hmm. He's our creator. This is something we're getting. There's no God on the planet that can do this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really great. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, just that I guess I'm moving on to the next section where he does that, and then he goes on and performs another thing. You know, he doesn't just, it doesn't say.
What's the other thing that you're referring to?
Well, it doesn't say that Moses says after that, what if they don't believe me if I do that? It just said, the Lord furthermore said to him, so he did that miracle, I guess if you want to call it that, changing the staff into a snake. And then from there he says, furthermore, take your hand and put it in your, you know, bosom, and it comes out. He puts it in there, takes it out, and it's leprous, and then puts it back in, and it's clean again. So he is giving him another sign of his power. So I know when we looked up hand, didn't it? It's the flat part of your hand or your palm or sole, but it's also, you know, used for many things. You're in service to whatever, to the Lord, and service to other people, and service to yourself. And leprosy, of course, is unclean. And so I think that that's another, you know, indication that the Lord is showing him the power of he has over man, and that without him, we have nothing, we have no authority of any kind, and we have no way to change our own. We're evil inside.
Yeah, I think that's really the lesson there too. Because when we first studied this a couple years ago, we were really stunned by this. Why is this there? Mm-hmm. Why is this a picture here? Mm-hmm. And I think the whole act, when we started talking about this, based on what you viewed this, is when he actually put his hand in there, you can't see what's really in your heart.
Right.
However, he put his hand over his heart by putting it inside of there, pulled it out, and it's white and leprous. If you do a study of this leprous thing, it is associated with pride and what you speak. Evil words like Miriam, and you go to Numbers 12 and 13 and you look at that. Miriam was speaking against Moses. She wasn't speaking against Moses. She was speaking against God using Moses. Mm-hmm. That's the problem, because Moses was obedient to God, and she had her own agenda, which was filled with pride. Well, I think the Lord is showing Moses, he's filled with pride too, mm-hmm. that he doesn't really see, and we don't see what's inside of us. Mm-hmm. And I think he was scared when he pulled that out.
Well, I'm sure I would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what, you know?
Yeah, it's diseased. It's horrible, and I bet you he put it back in there real fast to mm-hmm. come out clean again. Mm-hmm. But that's the type of God we serve. He's able to clean us up. Mm-hmm. If we, and that's why Psalm 32 is so important.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to confess our iniquity? Are we going to know who we are and then be obedient? And that comes back to that question that we asked the other day. You know, do you see progression in your life to God's will?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And are you an honest person? The one scripture that you were on verse 6, but in verse 5, it says that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Mm-hmm. Well, I think, like Baruch would say, anytime we see the multiple generations of people who God kept his promises to, that is another way of saying, put your faith in me. I'm here to get you out of here. I'm coming because I'm keeping my promise to them. If I'm coming because I'm keeping my promise to them and I kept them alive and they're now with me because nobody dies, then you can put your faith. Mm-hmm. We who are listening to this can put our faith in Christ too. That's why I think the Lord is saying that. And then he shows us in verse 6, like you've said, what we really are on the inside. Mm-hmm. Leprous.
Right. And our need for him.
Yes. And I think that's...
Because it says he restored it back to like the rest of his flesh. And restored is to turn back or return.
Mm-hmm. Which is a type of repentance.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I think that's a actually pretty cool.
Is it shuv? It's shuv. Teshuvah or shuv is return. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad you did that. So there is repentance involved in this. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, because Moses...
It's like I said, it's in one sense. I mean, I'm not sure, but after reading the three things that he said to show the people so that they would believe... The third one is going to the Nile.
Yep.
And which Pharaoh, he viewed that as a god.
Almost. Yep, yep.
And take that water out and pour it on the ground and it will turn into blood. And it's like, if you look at it in those three, and it's three, it, those
in
three
a progression
things,
again.
A progression that speaks to me of the gospel and the Lord's, you know, what you need to do. I mean, the serpent.
We're attached to the serpent.
Yeah. Then the seeing what's inside of us.
Seeing what's, yep.
Being restored. And then what's to come with the blood of Christ.
And so Psalm 32 is basically saying we're returning back to the Lord by confessing our sins mm-hmm. and realizing what's really in us. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think the gospel is you're attached to the serpent. Mm-hmm. Your insides are full of pride and disease and all that. And you need to return. You need to return and you need to repent. And then the last one is it's going to take blood. Mm-hmm. It's going to take blood to cover that. And Psalm 32, if you get a chance, take Psalm 32 and pray it back to the Lord, I mm-hmm. think.
Well, it's really because he's not doing this to the Pharaoh right now. This is the stuff he's going to be doing to the elders of Israelites. So there's something that's still intact with their belief.
Well, it comes back to, yes.
And that the Lord would know that doing these things would be the things that would help them remember, because that's what they were to do. I mean, that's what the Lord has called everybody to do. And the fathers in their households was to show their children to remember the Lord and where they came from, and the wife's a helpmate to help her husband
remember.
And so
all remembering.
Isn't that what he's doing here for his children? I mean,
yeah. And remember, we started out in the last podcast and we started out here. Whenever you're encountering the presence of the Lord, he's going to reveal what's mm-hmm. going on in you and who you really are. Mm-hmm. That he sees.
It shows another character, that trait of what we of the Lord and his a father's heart.
Yeah,
that he's giving him things to do to help his children to remember, and he's doing it through Moses.
Right, and I think one of the things that we look at is a lot of times we didn't see this until we started studying scripture together like this, like we are right now. You guys are actually seeing what we do. So the thing that's interesting to me, Mary, is that we are, through our experience with the Lord and studying, and through Moses' experience here, we're actually learning the gospel right mm-hmm, here. Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing.
Which is cool, because, I mean, we know the New Testament, they didn't know that. They were still right. looking for the Messiah, but they would have known. They knew that the Messiah was going to be coming.
Right, but the gospel's the same. The only way we can get fixed is if we return. Right. We return, we recognize who we are, we return, mm-hmm. and we accept the blood of the Messiah. Right.
They're looking forward and we're looking backward.
Right.
But it's to the same thing.
It's the same gospel.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I think that is really cool. And the fact that one of the biggest character traits we can look at in getting to know God is he keeps his promises right. to multiple generations, and he's not messing around. Mm-hmm. You know, he's at war with his enemies. And then it'd be like, well, how come God's at war? Mm-hmm. You know, well, he's got enemies. I don't understand it all, but I don't want to be one of them. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I want a shuv.
Well, and it shows We want to blame God for the bad things that happen, but most of the things that happen, I mean, because we're in a broken world, it is consequences of sin. So God's ways are always to try to bring us back to him and to get us out of what we've gotten ourselves into.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And I love this verse 8. It says, if they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the grammar in this, but do you think maybe it might be in the gospel, the last sign? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or is the last sign of Moses? Or is it the last sign of Christ raising from the dead? Or is it the last sign of him returning?
Well, the first occurrence of it is Genesis 1:14. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heaven to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So
I think that's the, okay, I got it. I like the fact that it says the witness, and it mm-hmm. says it twice. So we need to, pay attention. And it's the same kind of believe here, mm-hmm. if we look at the different words. But if they will not believe even these two signs, and two in verse 9, when you see two, it if you click on it, it'll have a whole article by Dr. Brook on the, it means two opposing opinions. Mm-hmm. So what are the two opposing opinions here? Oh, the first two signs would be, that would be hermeneutics. The first two signs would be opposing, but I'm not sure why it would be opposing. Mm. So it would be some believe, some not believe. Would that be the opposition?
I don't know.
Would it be contrasting the two signs of the snake and putting your hand in there? So we have two, or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord. Okay, so now we see another shift in this. Now the Lord, he's confronted with these signs. He's confronted with how much sin he has. Mm-hmm. He's confronted with, in other words, the Lord is plowing up the ground. And it's through Moses' experience with God, just like our experience with the Word of God and the things that come from the outside, the experiences and the trials and the circumstances is plowing us up. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because if you do a study on the dry ground, there are many things that come up in Scripture, like they're going to cross the Red Sea on the dry ground.
Yeah.
And they're going to go across the Jordan on the dry ground. Mm-hmm. So, and then after the flood, the ground is dry. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big deal. And I'm still asking the Lord about that.
Well, that's something that we could encourage everybody to do, is do a study on that, you know, to dig deeper into that.
And shuv, and post that on on the public wall. We'd really like to get some feedback from you guys. I know Baruch's got two messages on Exodus right here. So verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. Wow. Have we looked up servant? Slave or servant? Okay. For I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Okay, so then the Lord graciously said, who made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, some people would get offended by that. Why would you, Lord, make somebody mute, blind, deaf? Well, it's his world and his rules. Mm-hmm. And so that's a question we can ask the Lord. Why would you do that? I mean, why if everything was good and there was sin in the world, why did that happen? Those are legitimate questions that we ask when mm-hmm. we're doing Bible mm-hmm. study.
Well, and it would make sense because we're in a broken world and we're broken, flawed people. So why wouldn't there be brokenness in somebody's genetics or DNA when they're being formed, because they're in this
world,
mm-hmm. you know? So,
but we want to blame God for it.
Right.
See, that's the thing. You know, we want to blame God. Like you'll hear from new atheists, well, you know, God approves slavery. Well, it's baloney.
Right.
In they don't know, if you read the context of it, that the Lord was actually freeing people from slavery. Because I could put myself into debt by borrowing something from you and then paying it back by working for you.
Right.
That's no different than... So what you're essentially saying is, okay, if you have a job, then you're a slave. Mm-hmm. Then you approve of slavery then. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just... But I think you're right, and I appreciate you.
Well, that again shows the need for understanding correctly the interpretation of Scripture and the time that it was in and what was going on at that time and what they would have thought and believed. And I mean, there's a whole slew of things that need to be, that people don't understand, that can make it easy to say God hated women and they didn't have, you know, they didn't have rights and they didn't have, you know, children were nothing and all these different things. But if you study it, if you do a good study on it, everywhere that the Lord went and the and Christianity went, it freed up women.
That's exactly right.
You know, and people get confused between roles too, of just a different a role that somebody has. And, well, I don't want to get into that because that can be kind of controversial.
No, the roles. What do you mean roles?
Well, roles of men and women.
Well, I can't have a baby, so there you go.
Well, that's what I mean, just natural roles that happen, which doesn't mean that you have to be forced into doing something, but that, in my experience, the most, the roles that God created in a certain way are where you, if you practice those roles and look through it scripturally, that's where you feel the most content and at peace.
And that's why Psalm 32 says, if you are going to be against God and opposing God, then you're going to feel completely wasted inside. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's really important for men to be one. A male is one who remembers. And one who and God remembers his covenant and is faithful to us. And so he remembers. We as men are, need to reflect that back and remember his word.
Well, and you can see the
And lead in that.
The consequences of sin, because man in
male or female are you talking, or just in man in general, as humankind?
Well, you first take a male and his job is to remember and to lead his family and lead his wife and protect and love his wife as Christ loved the church. And when that gets broken down and turns into slavery for women, like, you know, like in the Muslim world where you cover your face and cover your eyes because I'm lusting after you and mm-hmm. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Women have no place. So, but it's because of a breaking down what their role is to their wife. I'm talking about husbands and wives now. And then in turn, women wanting to take control over what their husbands are doing instead of being a helpmate and a help to remember. So they complement each other instead of one thinking this role is better than that role, and how come I don't get to do that role, and how come I don't get to do that? And now you're even seeing it in, you know, with men wanting to be women. So it mm-hmm. goes, you know, it goes into a whole nother category that.
Yeah. And so why can't we be set to find the purposes and plans of God for us, which is to be who we're made and to be obedient to his word.
Right. We should be able to do that. And I think that's the thing with the, when you really get into the word and understand it. Me as a woman I don't feel at all slighted or that I'm not supposed to be, you know, that the Lord is telling me that I'm a second class citizen. What it does to me is show the importance of me as a person that I have to the Lord and how grateful I am for the place that he's put me as a woman and to try to, well, I guess we're getting way off the subject because we're talking about Moses, but it's turned into understanding God's ways and character and being able to, just like he told Moses, Moses said, I'm not an eloquent speaker. So use somebody else. If we would look at it that you've chosen me to do this, I'm going to do it because you've called me to do it. You made me to do this. Now I'm going to ask you the questions and please show me and guide me so that I can do it to the best of my ability for you, Lord, because it's what you want.
Well, I think just even having the discussion that you're saying, because that's going on in the culture right now.
Right.
And the culture is fired up about not being who we are. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to be who we are, where we are, just like Moses, all he had was a stick. And the Lord is training him and digging him up, in a sense, his heart and his ground and everything, of the ground of his heart, to be who he is. Mm-hmm. And the Lord remembers that. And he's showing with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob making that comment that he's remembering his covenant faithfulness to us.
Right. And those men, we know because we've read through it, and they would have too, the mistakes that they made and the things that they didn't do, but their end result was to turn to the Lord, and they're still being used today.
Exactly.
You know, so it shows the...
That's an interesting comment. They're even being used today. Mm-hmm. Because... Again, what we've said is all we can control is what's around us. Mm-hmm. But if we're serving the Lord, then he uses us. I didn't realize the full weight of that. Mm-hmm. Because look, you and I are sitting here today because Paul preached to the Gentiles 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. And his words are what caused us to be saved. Mm-hmm. 2,000 years later. Moses, we're studying about what Moses is doing. His life is still having an impact on us.
Right. And his life had an impact on Paul and Peter and all the disciples and everybody, anybody who they, it's shows that God will use.
Well, and I think
men who are men, broken women. People, men mm-hmm. and women. I mean, I say men, I mean all of us, broken people who, if they turn to him and try to serve him and carry out God's will, God will do it through them, exactly. However imperfect they are.
Yeah, and I think what's really interesting about that is we even go to Adam and Eve. They didn't even have anyone tempting. Well, they had a tempter, but their mistake affected us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the fear of the Lord, is the fear to offend him. And we go to his word to find out what's, we don't want to offend him. And we want him to shape our life in such a way that we aren't creating scenarios that create stumbling blocks for other people.
And for other generations.
And other generations. And we want to be a people who, when we go back to our questions, are we willing to be who we are, I'll add this, and to be obedient to God's word, mm-hmm. which would then will affect us to the point of, are we going to be a disciple? How are we going to know God if we're not going to be willing to? And I think that's really important. And we're not going to know if we're growing in God if we're not going to be willing to be obedient to his word.
Right.
Because that's what we're looking at here with Moses. And if you think about it, Moses' life had several iterations. You know, mm-hmm. he was rich, powerful, and wealthy. He had to flee. He was a nothing in the wilderness as he was running away. He was a fugitive and a murderer. And when he got there, what happened? He had a heart change. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I just think I'm actually glad we talked about that, because the Lord, I don't want to be somebody mute, and I don't want to be deaf, and I don't want to be somebody that's not seeing or blind. But I want to be a person who sees and hears and does. Mm-hmm. And I need help with that. I need change from the Lord on that.
And that's where the scripture comes in, the word of God. That's the only way.
You know what? I just realized it says, the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth, or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? It is not I as the Lord. We started out. The question is blaming God for the problems in the world. But if we turn this around, I could say, Lord, all these things exist in this broken world, as you said, and I want to be the person that you want me to be. And you make all of these people. Mm-hmm. So I can go to you to become dependent upon you. Mm-hmm. So I like that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Now in verse 12, the Lord says, now then go, and I love that phrase. I don't know what that necessarily all means, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. And so is pretty definitive. His excuse got blown away. But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will, just basically not me. And here's where the Lord gets angry. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And here's the problem. Speaking fluently isn't what the Lord needs. He needs an obedient person, because he'll put the words in the mouth and teach you, as he said. And moreover, behold, he's coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. So
Which is another miracle. I mean, so just then his brother's coming over the...
And it's not a coincidence. The Lord sent
them. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The Lord's really amazing. So he's coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak to you, to the people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. Now, here's an interesting thing. This is the first time the word prophet is used is with Abraham. Okay? And it's basically one who speaks for God. And so Moses is being asked to be a prophet. And then now Aaron is a prophet, but he's like God. And I think that's an important role, because Pharaoh views himself as God. Mm-hmm. So I think, and his little minions, Pharaoh's minions, are his prophets. And so we're going to get into some interesting things here. And I think we can still ask the question. And I think it'd be really helpful for people to, all of us, to think about our roles, who we are. Are we willing to accept those? If we're not willing to accept those, are we willing to ask the Lord if he'll help change us, that we accept and understand who we are, that we're just a stick, we're attached to the snake, and we're inside, we're a mess, diseased, broken, and that blood will help us, and that we somehow need to be obedient to God.
Mm-hmm. To pray for.
Yeah, you want to pray for us?
To understand, sure.
Okay.
Lord, I just thank you for this time and this study, and I pray that you show each of us and give us gratitude for the roles that you've made us to be in. We're a man or a woman, that we would understand that we're a gift, because it's a gift because you created us, and it's your will. You knit us in our mother's womb, and that our place is to come to you and follow you and learn your ways and your character so that we can serve you in a better way. I thank you for being our Father. I thank you for being our God. I thank you for being the Lord over our lives. And I pray that you would help each of us to give honor to that position that you've placed us in, which is a servant, and that we should feel honored and excited and peaceful and content about being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what you made us to do, and that's where we'll be fulfilled, and that's where your purposes here on earth will be fulfilled, and your purposes will be fulfilled either way. If it's not, just like Moses not wanting to speak even after seeing all of the miracles that you showed him with the staff and the leprosy, and that he still was afraid to speak. So you provided a way through his brother, and your purposes were still fulfilled. But I sometimes question and wonder what would it have been like if he would have said, yes, Lord, I'll speak, without having to use Aaron. I don't know. But what I do know is that your purposes were fulfilled through it, and they will be fulfilled in our day, in the days to come, and for eternity. So I pray that you would put that in each of our hearts to love you, to serve you, to be grateful, and look at our brokenness and the see the need that we have for you to put us back together, and that powerful things can be done through you, but not because we're something great or that we have anything to do with it, other than understanding that it's all you, Lord. It's all you. And I thank you for that, and I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Lord, I also pray for the people who don't have somebody to study with, whether in a husband, wife, or divorced, or whatever the circumstances, because the enemies of our soul are attacking in every way possible to destroy the God-ordered world that we're in. But whatever the circumstances, however they are there, we can go to you and become dependent upon you, and you'll meet those needs. You'll be our study partner. You'll be our helper. You'll bring folks into our lives that will help us study. But Lord, I just ask that we would be obedient to your word, be repentant, realize who we are, not have our own worldview of who we are, but what your worldview is of who we are. That even though we're leprous on the inside, you're still with us and you still love us, and that you'll cover us. And Lord, we take Psalm 32 to heart. We don't hide our sin from you. We put it before you, even though we don't want to. Sometimes we might be mad at you. We might be angry at other people. We might be angry at the church, but we just look to you and ask you for your help. Lord, we need your help. We need your change. Your word says that there's going to be a judgment. And even though we might be angry or not in a good position with you, we just ask that you would that we would have the strength to say, Lord, change us. We know what's right, but we don't want to go there. And Lord, even in that, you'll honor that type of prayer because it's honest. Help us to be honest. Help us to be part of your will and obedient to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I just want to thank you guys for the time. Start digging into Bible Study Company. Please share these podcasts. Please share the Bible study software and stuff like that with people.
Yeah, we really want to stir up conversation and, help each other remember and point to Christ in all of it.
Yep. Well, thank you.
Bye.